Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a Before the Bell Rings All-Star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, March 7th, 2024. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. I am DJ, the man with the award-winning and holy beard. I'm going to go around the room here and introduce this cast of characters that we have on this show tonight, starting with the Mindless Wrestling Podcast's resident high flyer, hailing from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine. He is Bucky's tag team partner and a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, welcome to the show again, bud.
Yeah, that high flyer thing's going to stick, isn't it?
It is. It is. I'm ashamed that it took me this long.
Me too, kind of. Good to see you, boys. I know we just said hello and just fine. That we'll rip the curtain down. We just recorded with our pals over the DWI. So obviously we're all rearing to go.
Yeah, we had a little pre-show warm-up with the DWI guys. It was their 420 episode, and we went down our top five high flyers of all time. It was a lot of fun with PC Tunney, AJ Belaz, the lawyer Dave Ungar. Good time, man. Go listen to that one. That is the DWI 420th episode of that show. And last but never, ever, ever least from the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob, sir. How's your week?
Good to be back.
Excellent. Good to hear you. And I'm peeling back the curtain a little bit. We've talked on this show about how Thursday nights are rough for me. Like sometimes I literally get in the door with just enough time to eat food, change my clothes, go to the bathroom and start recording. It was even tighter tonight because we were supposed to be on with DWI at 7:00 and I literally plopped down with food in a bowl eating at 6:58. Like today was rough, just a rough week. So we had a little bit going on this week. We are going to do a list of our own. We're going to get on that on the backside of the commercial break. But before we go to commercial, we need to fix a big oversight and an error on our part. As part of Black History Month, and unfortunately the timing of it was just awful, we did lose the superstar known as Virgil about a week or so ago, like literally in the last days of Black History Month. And we gave a little eulogy. And we really didn't offer up a whole lot, mainly because we didn't do our homework. Let's just go ahead and throw it out there. Rob has done a bit more research on the career and life of Mike Jones, also known as Virgil. And Rob's going to take over here. And we're going to do a little bit better job this week than we did last week.
Yeah, and I'll admit, we all knew him as Virgil. And that's what we saw him as. And we didn't, I didn't bother to look into any of the rest of his career or the rest of his life even. And, we blew it there. So I'm going to do that because, these people, these are people, right? They're not cartoon characters. They're not video game characters. They're like actual people. And they have lives outside of wrestling. So just to give some... So he was born in Pennsylvania, and he played defensive back at Virginia Union University, and he was also an amateur wrestler. And after school, he was working at loading dock, and he ran into Tony Atlas, and Tony Atlas recommended him, and he began training with Offa of the Wild Samoans, which is, I mean, that bloodline tree reaches out in all type of crazy corners and, you know, places in the world, doesn't it?
It does. Those guys have had their hands in some incredible talent over the last 40 years.
Yeah. And.
Oh, not to step on Virgil's spot here, but that reminded me, weird trivia that you just reminded me of. Billy Kidman, also trained by Offa. I found that out today.
Okay. And so, you know, his first appearance in WWF was not as Virgil. It was in 1986. He was wrestling under the name Lucius Brown, and he was a jobber, basically. His first match was losing to Paul Orndorff in Salisbury, Maryland, of all places. that wasn't too far from me when he had his first WWF match.
Wow.
And so we talked about the whole, you know, the run with DiBiase and all that stuff, but something that was very interesting to me was that later on, after, you know, after he retired and all of this stuff, he got a math degree from the University of Virginia, and he was a high school math teacher. This is according to Wikipedia, so if by some chance this is some made up bullshit, you know, I apologize. But since he has a degree in math from the University of Virginia and became a high school math teacher in Pittsburgh after retiring from full-time in-ring competition. And so for me, anybody who gets a math degree is a winner in my book. Yeah, unless you're Ted Kaczynski.
But, you know, he doesn't get invited to the party, pal.
No. But, you know, I thought it was really cool just that there are, you know, that you know, there were just things outside of what we saw from him in WWF. And just, you know, again, these folks, they have lives outside of wrestling. They are real people. And, you know, it is good to recognize some of that when we do talk about them. And so, you know, we apologize. We did not do our homework, like DJ said. And so we're trying to make up for that. So once again, thank you, Mike Jones. Thank you for, you know, years of entertainment. Thank you for, you know, making our lives a little more fun every Saturday. and forever, you know, all the people that you, you know, helped out in and outside of the wrestling business.
Yeah, definitely deserved a much better eulogy than we gave him last week. And again, for this podcast, and Rob's already said, so I apologize as well. We should have done more due diligence on that. Jason, you got any last words on this one? You're muted, buddy.
I am, sorry. Okay. No, I didn't know about his I remember noting that when we were talking about it, I was like, oh, he played college football. I didn't know that. And you know, that somehow didn't make it into the show. But yeah, nothing to add except for it was obviously a life well led.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so this episode, we just got done doing a list on the DWI podcast, and we'd already planned on doing a list of our own. Jason, yeah. I hate your face.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here? I hate your face. I hate your face wrestlers. Wrestlers who just go out there and wrestle every match, whether there's a title on the line or not, wrestling like rent is due. They're just out there to beat somebody up because that's what they like to do. When we get back from the commercial break, we're going to break down our top five I hate your face wrestlers. But before we go to commercial, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can check out all the available t-shirts from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including this podcast, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go over, check out all the shirts. Pick one up. The starving artists on this show will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We're going to go to break. When we get back, we're talking about our favorite I Hate Your Face wrestlers. And we're back. You're listening again to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. Reached out to my guys today. I wanted to do something a little different. We don't do a whole lot of top five lists here on this program, and we're kind of in a bit of a holding pattern in terms of talking WrestleMania. There's a lot going on in the world of professional wrestling right now, including AEW, TNA, WWE, you know, and beyond. But tonight we wanted to cool all the actual in-ring talk and talk just wrestlers. Wrestlers. What kind of wrestlers? I hate your face wrestlers. The wrestlers that just go out there and wrestle like their life depends on it every single time because they genuinely hate the person across the ring. Not necessarily wrestling for a title, not necessarily wrestling for anything more than I want to beat you up because I don't like the way you look. Okay? And we're just going to go down the room, give one at a time. We're going to start with Jason here, and Jason's going to explain his list because I think he interpreted my intention a little bit differently. But Jason, go ahead and talk about your list.
I'll tell you, there's some Venn diagram, which is okay. So when DJ explained it, he did not explain it. He explained it in our little group chat that we have to set up for the show. And he didn't give it the oration that he just gave it now. So when he said, I hate your face wrestlers, I interpreted that to mean wrestlers who looked like they could fight, wrestlers who looked like they wanted to fight, and also I kind of know that if it does come to a fight, they might probably win. So, and I feel like we went diverged on two different paths there, but you know what? My in no particular order either, so sorry if you're doing any sort of ranking, DJ, but the first guy on my list, again, in no particular order, is probably right in the middle of that Venn diagram, is Kurt Angle. If things broke down and he didn't like what was going on, Kurt, he might not, you know, knock you out like some of the other guys on my list, but he will put you will no longer have control of the situation. So then next up, I mean, they need no explanation. The next guys really need no explanation once I explain how my list goes, but I had Vader, and then I had Bobby Lashley and Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. All guys that I would just say, I would not mess with them. I would say if someone decided to mess with them in the context of a match and going sideways from that match, they would, and we've seen them, adjust people quite quickly. So that is kind of how I took the list.
Okay, and that's fair, and that makes perfect sense when you look at it in the context of how I texted it to you guys, because you're right. I literally just threw that. It was something that popped in my head while I was at work. I wanted to do something a little different tonight, and I was sitting there thinking, I love guys who get in the ring and just be like, I love a match that feels like a real fight. And there's few people, like there's a lot of people that can have really good wrestling matches. Hold for hold, go out there, catch as catch can, you know, chain wrestling. And it's awesome. I love it. I'm a work rate nerd. But sometimes I just like when two guys get in the ring and just start slugging it out for no other purpose than that they hate the person standing across the ring. And that's what I meant. I should have been a little more clear. But Jason, you got a solid list there, buddy.
Thank you. And I will just say as an addendum, now you have explained it more, I'm not going to bother with my top five, but my A number one would probably be Daniel Bryan. So there you go.
Okay. All right. And that's just fair. Daniel Bryan is like that.
No, if I do have a poor performance tonight and I don't give it my all, they're going to take my kids away. I'm not going to be married to Brie anymore. And like, so my life depends on this match.
And that's fair. That's a fair assessment. I like that. He wasn't on my list, but I like that explanation.
Thank you.
Mr. Rob, I know I gotta call Rob out here because, you know, I threw this topic out first thing in the morning and T minus 60 seconds and counting to showtime. Rob's like, I didn't make a list. Rob, but he did manage to come up with something in the brief creative huddle that we had. Rob, yes. Go ahead and take over and give us your list, buddy.
Okay, number five, Terry Bam Bam Gordy. Yeah, if you watched any of his stuff in like Mid-South and in Japan, he was like super intense and he could just brawl. And I mean, and he was just somebody you did not want to be standing in front of. And like you watch any of his stuff with like, it's Hacksaw Jim Duggan or Dr. Death Steve Williams, the way they would just go back and forth. I mean, it was like some really intense, crazy stuff. Fort Vader,
Vader worked very stiff all the time. And he was one of those guys where if you were out of hand or you weren't playing ball, he made you play ball. Okay. Because again, the one I remember more
than anything. What's the line, DJ?
Sell because you want to or sell because you have to.
Yeah. The one I remember most from him was the match he had with Ken Shamrock. And Shamrock was getting a little too cute throwing, you know, hands. Vader wanted to calm down, and he made him stop.
That's a great clip. That throws back to Brock when he clocked Braun Strowman that one time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, number three, in honor of something that happened that is commemorated today, and it, this is a tag team. This is the accolades. Today is the day in history in which they were the tag team, the Public Enemy, told them when they were walking, when they're about to walk to the ring, "Hey guys, we're not doing the table spot." To which Ron Simmons responded, "We're going to bring the table to them."
That's an all-time great story.
Yeah, and so they just went out there, and because JBL told the story, there's a video of him talking to, I think, to Gerald Briscoe about it, and like that was supposed to be the finish, and they said at the last minute they weren't doing it, and so, and you know, nobody else knew what to do, and so Ron was like, "All right, well, fuck it, you know, they're going through the damn table." And I mean, they went out there and they beat the shit out of those guys. And it's really funny because Bully Ray had a similar story about the same team that they did this. They pulled the same shit on the Dudleys in ECW, I think. And so those guys were just kind of stupid, and they got the shit kicked out of them, two different companies by two different tag teams. Because you know, because Bully Ray and Devon did the exact same thing to them in ECW when they wouldn't play ball.
Incredible.
Yeah. and then, all right, number three, Dr. Death. Yeah, because again, him and Gordy, you know, back and forth. I mean, actually, I'm make Dr. the honorable mention. This is what happens when you don't do your homework, ladies and gentlemen. You end up fumbling around. So I'll make Dr. the honorable mention. Number two, Stan Hansen. Because he would throw that clothesline, and he was like legally blind, I believe. That's the story. So he didn't always know where it was going. So when he cocked back, you better protect yourself. Because he didn't always know where it was going. And it was like that scene in Bull Durham where Crash Davis told Nuke to hit the bull, and then, you know, then he looked at the batter and told him, like, "Look, man, I don't know where the next one's going." Okay. Number one for me is Rowdy Roddy Piper, because he went in. I mean, he, to him, the match was a real fight, and and just remember him talking about when he and Hogan were feuding. At that point, like, Hogan was kicking out of everybody's finisher and just, you know, dropping the leg on them and all of that, and you know, and Piper, through in his own words, said basically like, "You're not going to fucking bury me." And he did not cooperate during those matches. He went out there, he just started swinging wild and just, you know, just like, "Look, you're not gonna grab me. You're not gonna put me down. You're not doing that bullshit with me that you do to everybody else. And whatever I gotta do to keep you off of me, that's what I'm gonna do." And you know, and you go back and watch some of those matches. He was just, he was a real crazy man out there, and because he was determined. Like, look, like, you know, because back then, I mean, a lot of guys, you know, once you lost that big blow-off match to Hogan, there wasn't much use for you after that. And he was determined, like, "You're not going to do that shit to me, man." Okay. And, you know, basically the one way to, you know, that he could, the one way to keep that from happening was to do exactly what he did. And to make it a real fight, basically. And, you know, so that's my list.
Okay. Yeah, it's a, Piper's on my list. I'll get to him in a minute. Number five is a modern guy. Jason's going to like this one. Dijak. I feel like Dijak is one of those guys who's just out there to beat people up. Like, that's his sole purpose in the wrestling business. Like, every time I say this, because he's been involved in feuds where you're like, why is Dijak feuding with this one? And then you look at it, you're like, oh, he just likes to beat people up. And he goes out there and he wrestles like he doesn't like you. Like, something about you that week, like, what's the way you eat your food in catering or the way you store your bag in your locker or whatever. He's picked out a thing he doesn't like and he's coming to assault you that week. You know, and that's what I like about Dijak.
He wanted to be Batman and he ended up being the Red Hood.
Pretty much. That's exactly what it is. Number four was Randy Savage. Randy Savage wrestled with the same intensity no matter who he was in the ring with. If he was in the ring with fucking anybody, it was always 110% full speed ahead. I'm coming to kill you because you're the other guy on the other side of the ring. And it didn't have to be a title on the line. Didn't have to be anything on the line other than you're in my way and I'm going to mow you over. And I loved that about Randy Savage. Number three was Roddy Piper, for all the reasons Rob said. Roddy went out there every week like he was legit trying to kill somebody. Like, I don't even care who you are. And again, similar to Savage, it was the same intensity no matter who he was in the ring with. And it was just so much fun to watch. And a side note on Roddy Piper, I think that's why his Intercontinental Championship match with Bret Hart stands the test of time as one of my favorite matches of all time, because it was a different side of Piper. Like, you didn't see Piper get in there and hold for hold work with people very often, at least not when he got to WWE. Maybe early on in his career, he had some more wrestling matches. But with Piper, it was always about just psycho swinging and blindly just, you know, flailing and doing a few wrestling moves peppered in here and there. But the match with Bret was a wrestling match, and he was so good in it. So it was like, what am I watching right now? So it was just, it was a good contrast to what I was used to with Roddy Piper versus what I got that particular night. And that's why it stands that test of time for me. Number two, Bruiser Brody. Like, I legit believe Bruiser Brody was not right in the head and was actively out there trying to kill people every time he went in the ring. And you go back and you watch, and again, anybody he got in the ring with, he was full steam ahead. He's like, you better protect yourself because I'm not going to protect you. I don't care. I'm out here to fight. You better be ready to go when the bell rings. And, you know, there are horror stories of him taking over the mat, like the one story of Lex Luger in the cage.
Yeah.
Like, he pretty much told Luger, no, you're going to do exactly what I tell you to do in here. And it's just crazy stuff like that that makes me, it leaves him at number two on my list. Number one, Stan Hansen. I think Stan Hansen is the all-time king of I hate your face and I want to punch it wrestlers. And again, another guy, full speed ahead. Like Rob said, he's blind as a fucking bat. So if he swings at you, you better be either prepared to get hit or prepared to duck. And it just, he's a lot of fun to watch. He's one of the first people that I ever saw go fisticuffs with Andre. Oh, you know, and you see people work Andre, and Andre's always the bigger man. Andre's going to muscle you around. Andre's going to do what he wants. Hansen didn't give a fuck. He's like, I don't give a fuck that you're 7'5". I'm going to punch you in your face because I don't like it. And he would go out there and just swing on Andre, and just it was great. And you look out there, and Andre's like, God damn, I'm in a fight. You know, I've got to defend myself here. And those are, of that era, those are some of my favorite matches to watch. Simply because Hansen wasn't taking any of his shit. It's like, I don't care how big you are, you're going to have to fight me like I'm fighting you. It was so much fun. So, fellas, we've got a lot of time left. Is there anything on anybody's plate that they want to talk about here?
I wanted to do something as much as we bash Tony Khan and, you know.
Let's talk about that.
I'll fall on the sword and I'll say it out loud because I've been saying it for weeks and months and years and whatnot. But he's probably next to Roman. He's probably my all-time favorite guy, and Sting. Wow. For all of the things that Tony Khan has gotten wrong, even got things that he hasn't gotten 100% right, he treated Sting this entire run perfectly. And this send-off was awesome. Like, I got to see in most of the match via the magic of the internet. And you know, the deal with his sons and everything. But anyway, yeah, we're all going to go into it, I'm sure. But yeah, Tony Khan, hats off, man. You went 100 yards. You returned the kick 100 yards with Sting.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, man, it was, because look, when Sting first showed up there, I'll be the first one to admit, I was like, really? That's what we're doing. And but he did everything, like I said, he did everything they did right. And from teaming him up with Darby this whole time so that he didn't have to do too much. And then he ended up going out there. He took some pretty big bumps in some of those matches too. And so he was not just there to get a check, you know, and obviously, look, he was not satisfied with the way things went in WWE, and he didn't want that to be the end of his career. And he wanted to get a more satisfying ending. And Tony Khan gave that to him. And not just, and also, I mean, I saw a few people say this, and I'm going to agree with it. You know, this was almost like, this was the send off of WCW that a lot of us did not get. Right? I mean, because, you know, they got canceled from TV. Vince bought them, and Vince did what Vince does, right? To WCW. And this whole run was a good and proper send off. And then Sunday night at the pay per view, you know, Rick was there, the Steamboat was there, and then for a few minutes on the pre show, we got, you know, David Crockett and Tony Giovanni were together again talking. You know, JR was doing commentary, and for those of us who go way back, to JR was WCW man before he was WWF guy.
Yep,
yes, sir.
And you know, and then in the crowd, you know, well, Lex Luger was there, and then Magnum T and Nikita Koloff were there together. Right. I mean, so for a lot of us, you know, that was, man, it was so nice just to see all of that. And some of us were concerned going in because Sting and Darby won the tag team titles. And I mean, I was one of those people who thought that, oh, shit, they're going to lose to the damn Bucks so the Bucks can get some heat or whatever. And so I'm going to stop. I'm going to give credit to Matt and Nick Jackson for maybe one and only time ever.
They went out well, there. I also want to give credit to them. And it's Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, Rob.
Yeah, you know, thing one, thing two, whatever.
No, man, but if it couldn't have been Cody, I can't believe, like, that, because we all know that was the plan, you know, when he signed, that was the plan. So, but, yeah, and I'm just shocked they let him win. Like, he won. Like, they did the selfless thing, so I credit where it's due.
Yeah, and sitting with both his sons and getting in the ring, that was fun, and they were actually wearing his old gear from when he
had his NWO Wolfpack and then Surfer Sting.
Yeah,
Hunter, if you don't pick up the phone and at least call, call those boys and see what they want to do. Hey,
yeah, I mean, look, they both. I mean, those guys both look pretty good in there, and. Yeah, if they're even just a tiny bit interested, give them a call and see if they want to come in for a tryout. But it was really cool to see all of that. And it was the send off. It was because, look, Sting deserved that kind of, he deserved the same type of send off that, like, the Undertaker got, you know, with the Boneyard match. He deserved that. And for a lot of, you know, if you only watch WWE programming, then maybe you didn't get it. But those of us who watched WCW, now I didn't watch him in TNA, but, you know, a lot of people did. So for a lot of people, that was their experience with him. But if you watched him in either one of those places, then yes, he absolutely deserved the kind of the hero's send off. And I'm glad he went out with a win, because for me, I'm not that whole idea that, well, you got to go out on your back. To me, that's shit. I mean, sometimes it's appropriate, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be a thing. Like, if you can do something with it, like, you know, you can give it to somebody. Hey, I retired so and so. Okay, that's you know, something. But really, is anybody in AEW going to take that and run with it? That really, like, I don't know. It just it was better this way. It doesn't really enough. What do you say, Rob? How's your favorite movie end, Rob?
Oh, so which one? Darn. See,
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. We say goodbye to the girl, but we ride off into the sunset with all our friends and our dad.
Yeah,
and we're good to go.
Yeah, and that's it. Simple and easy, and that's all you needed to do. That's exactly what they did. Look, there was no rub to get from beating 64-year-old Sting, okay?
No.
I'm sorry, there wasn't, okay? That's not the same as Brock beating like the 40-something-year-old Undertaker. It's not the same thing, okay?
Right.
There was no rub to get from beating 64-year-old Sting, all right?
I find it interesting that the reports were going out that Sting was actually pushing to lose the match. And this was something that Tony was insistent that he win. And again, not often that we put over Tony Khan. It's the right call.
Like, yeah, and you know what? Especially because, you know, the one thing that I'll say, I mean, he is his age. So at the end of a match, especially if he's done a lot, and especially if he's on the losing end, Sting looks like he just went through the ringer. And I get it. That's how you kind of want to go out on your back, but do you really want that to be the last image? No. Like, no. Come on. Let the man go out with some dignity. Let the man, you know, this was the correct call.
It was.
Absolutely. 100%. And, you know, and I saw some people complain that, well, he went 3-0. He didn't lose any matches. Who the hell wanted to see Sting lose a match?
What?
Who the hell wanted to see Sting lose a match?
Wait, did he have one world championship match and it was like a time limit draw or something?
No.
Did he not even get a title shot?
I don't think he got one title shot the whole time.
Good. Because I was about to say, if that happened, it happened early, and apparently it didn't. So that's great, because Tony, if you never intended, I would understand if you put the world title even on that Sting once you figured out that he was functional enough to get through a couple matches. Even if it was a short reign, whatever. But Tony's was never had that as a plan. So you know what he did? Apparently, he kept him away from the world title.
Yeah.
Which was the right call. Again, holy crap. How did you get this perfect? How?
Yeah, that's the part that blows my mind. Is it began when Sting first went, we all had our doubts on this show. We had a long conversation about Sting and how AEW was going to use him, what was going to happen, because the safety protocol there was horrible at the time. And we're talking about a guy who WWE wouldn't even let in the ring because of his neck issues and the fact that he, you know, damn near got paralyzed in a match with Seth Rollins. So, you know, there were concerns there legitimately. And then you have a company who has seemingly no safety protocols in place. I've talked about this on the show before. If you do not give wrestlers boundaries, they know no boundaries. And sometimes when you're one of those old heads in the business, man, you think you can do more than your body can actually do. And in the heat of the moment, when the crowd's rocking and you're hot and the match is going and everything feels good, sometimes you go out there and you just do some shit. And unfortunately, it's some shit that can hurt you. But to see, back to the point, one thing that I think is amazing, and for me and Rob, this is special. We saw Sting's first one and his last one. And that's pretty cool to me because, you know, as you grow up and, you know, people that are, you know, maybe younger than Jason, they'll, you know, they come in the middle of somebody's career and it's their new favorite wrestler. And, you know, they either never saw the beginning. You can go back and watch it historically, but there's it's different to live through it, to live through the rise of Sting and to understand how exciting that guy was and how fun wrestling was during that time period when he was, you know, blonde haired surfer Sting. It was a fun time to be watching NWA WCW. And then it just watched this career progression. And then there's an argument that, you know, I wish he had spent more time in WWE. I wish the last of his career could have been in WWE. That was never going to happen under Vince McMahon. Historically, Vince McMahon has never done well with talent he didn't create. And Sting, there's not a single thing about that character that you change bringing in the door. There's nothing about it. You buy what is in front of you if you're bringing him in-house, and Vince never would have made that work. It just wasn't going to happen. As it was, I was surprised we got him for what little we did, and they shit the bet on that. I don't.
Well, to be fair, they didn't try to make Sting do anything different. They just had him lose everything.
Well, and that's my point. There's absolutely, and they tried to argue it. Hunter tried to argue it in a storyline standpoint when he wrestled Sting. The plan supposedly was in 12 months for him to wrestle Rocky at the next WrestleMania. And so they're like, you know, it didn't make a whole lot of sense in a storyline standpoint for, you know, me to lose to Sting and then me to lose again, because obviously Hunter's putting over Rocky at the next WrestleMania if they're doing that match. Rock's not losing at WrestleMania to Hunter. But my answer to that is, then, well, why fucking do the match? Put him in there with somebody else. You could have found anybody else other than a semi-retired Triple H that Sting could have gone over at his first and unfortunately only WrestleMania. So there's not an excuse or an argument on the planet that will make that booking decision make sense to me. And I don't often complain about WWE's booking. I eat the sandwich and I keep it moving. This is one that I was like, what are we even doing here? And then to make it even worse, you overbook the ending of the match with the NWO run in, the DX run in, and everything, all the moving parts and pieces, and Sting still lost. He still lost.
The overbooking actually kind of does make sense and kind of helps you save face, because, you know, it's still a home field game for you. You know, we all know what we're looking at.
But it's the wrong kind of smoke and mirrors. It's the wrong kind of smoke and mirrors, because they bring out guys that you know are going to pop the crowd. The NWO is going to pop the crowd. The you know, D-Generation X is going to pop the crowd, and it's going to bring the crowd up here. So when Sting loses and they let the air out of the sails, the descent isn't quite as far as it would have been.
Also, if I'm the continuity director, and I know they don't have one of those, but if I am, and I see the NWO running out there to help Sting, yeah, I run out there with a baseball bat and I start fighting the NWO. What are you guys doing? Because does this make sense?
That really bugged me when that happened, because...
Yeah, why are they helping Sting?
Right. Like, even when WCW went under and before those guys left, there was no kumbaya. There was no even, like, handshake, like, put her there, pal, after we put each other through 4 years of hell or whatever. There was never even that. So you can't even tell that story.
Right.
Dumb.
Well, it's a shame that his WWE never did more. And a lot of people will argue, you know, and go on about how we never got Sting versus The Undertaker. And that's one of those matches where I think it looks good on paper, but I just don't know what kind of chemistry those guys would have had in the ring. And sometimes when you're performing at a high level and you've been doing this a while and you know what works and what doesn't work, Sting's side of the story is that The Undertaker was never really high on the idea. Like, he pitched it at him. He said, hey, what could we do here? And, you know, Undertaker was just like, nah, that ain't going to work for me. And the match never happened. And sometimes you just get a feel for it and you're like, okay, I don't see any money in that. It's insane to me that somebody could not see money in a Sting Undertaker match, but that's between the parties involved. Again, we don't put over Tony Khan very often, but we have to, again, stress this has been wonderful. And if he does nothing else right in his career, and his ownership of AEW and his booking, he did this absolutely chef's kiss. And I'll say this in putting over Tony Khan. I think he's a terrible booker. I do. I think he's a terrible booker. I don't think he knows his ass from a hole in the ground about booking, but Tony Khan is a fan. Yeah. And his work with Sting has been 1,000% fan service. I have Sting. What's the best way I can use him? What would I want to see Sting do in the last 2 years of his career? I can't use him as world champ. That's just logistically not possible. What else can I do with him? hats off. In a rare moment for me, hats off to Tony Khan.
Yeah, and this is
like I said, he didn't even do the like a 2 month championship, you know, journey or anything like that, like world championship journey or anything. He just was almost immediately paired with Darby, and we were off to the races.
And look, this is the one time where I'm glad where it was good to actually book like a fan and not overthink it and not turn into, you know, not fall into the internet wrestling community kind of tropes about, you know, well, you know, he needs to put people over and he needs to do this and he needs to do that, you know. No, this was one time it was good to just, you know, book him like you would book your favorite wrestler if you were playing Universe mode and have him win every belt or win everything you want them to win or whatever. This was, I mean, and I'm glad he did that. And look, what I often say, simplest answer is usually right. I mean, this was the case. The simplest answer was usually right. You put him in the ring, you have him do a bunch of cool stuff, and you let him win because everybody wants to see him win. Nobody was interested in seeing him lose, other than, you know, nerds, right?
Right.
Well, the people who you attracted by having Sting on your show wanted to see Sting win. Okay. That's what they wanted to see. They wanted to see him do cool stuff and they wanted to see him win. Nobody was going to see Sting Russell saying, well, I hope he puts somebody over this time. I mean, he just gives somebody the rub. You know, I mean, no.
He's been giving Darby the rub for 2 years by working with him.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And
that's the rub.
Right. And, you know, he gave Vader the rub back in 1992. Okay. That was enough.
Yeah.
I mean, all right. He didn't need to do any more of that. Okay. Just like, look, if you go see a nostalgia act, if you go see, you know, look, I'm a big two fan. They're in their 60s now. At some point in the next 10 years, they'll do a farewell tour. If I go see the farewell tour, I want to see them play their songs. I don't want to see them do two songs and then hand the mic to somebody else. Okay.
Right. Right.
Exactly. Okay. That's not what it is. Okay. And hell, with Sting.
I'll push it even further, man. Like, this was all the things that we usually make fun of him for, like being a mark, being a fan, being a whatever. Writing a WWE wrong. Like, they had him lose to Hunter, and then they bounced his neck off a turnbuckle. Let's have this guy just run the table the whole time he's here.
Yeah, and it's one of the instances where Tony, being a super fan, has worked out in his favor and in the favor of Sting and in the favor of the fans. You know, fans of Sting got treated to something very special at a time when WWE couldn't do it and wouldn't do it just because of, I think Hunter may have booked Sting a little differently. I don't know what their personal and or professional relationship is like, but with Vince McMahon, it was just never going to happen. He had the last breath of WCW left to hold under the water. And he did that with Sting to finish drowning that entire company.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
So while we're on the subject of AEW, let's just do a quick, well, you got a couple more minutes here. So AEW, we've retired Sting. Like Rob said, it feels very much like a final goodbye to WCW. And AEW programming has felt a lot of times like bad episodes of later year WCW programming. But it seems like this, what was it, Wednesday night? They got a little bit of an upgrade, a little bit of a facelift, a little bit of a rebrand. And now we've it's official. Okada is All Elite. Yep. We're probably looking at Mercedes Moné, formerly known as Sasha Banks, going to be All Elite. Is 2024 a year where we see AEW creatively start to turn the corner? Do they start to, like, I feel like, just in the little bits that I've seen, that Tony may actually be starting to take advice from people who know the business a little bit better. Because some of the booking things that he's done and some of the matches that he put together just seem to make more sense than they did just 12 short months ago. Jason, I'll start with you. Do you notice that, or do you feel like this may be an official, like, refresh for AEW?
Well, I think it's just because you've been around for a while. And, yeah, he did move the goalposts a while ago with that big whatever call it was, or media call before one of the big pay-per-views, where he says, like, oh, we want to go from whatever to a startup company, or to, like, from a startup company to a whatever. And I'm like, well, for 4 years you've been telling me you're the alternative, you're the, you know, upstart, you're the, you know, brand that's going to take down the big bad wolf. But to be fair to him, if there's just kind of some humility going on here, and if there's just, hey, I'm rich, let's hire a bunch of smart people to do this job to make my job easier, so I don't have to wear 40 fucking different hats. You know, even if it's something as simple as that, just because of the rebrands and the slow things we've seen. Yeah, I mean, and the new set's gorgeous. I love the color splash. I know we've all argued in favor of the color splash, and when people made fun of that for NXT looking kitty, it's like, well, that's everything now. Fortnite, et cetera, et cetera. It's all color splash and vivid colors and whatnot. So, of course, AEW is going in that direction. That all said, the new set's gorgeous. So I'm hopeful because, again, it's better for the industry. It's better for everybody when there's places everybody can make money. Yeah. I don't need to speculate on, you know, apparently way overpaid Okada, in my opinion. But
I don't even want to go there. That's a whole discussion.
I will say, I do, on the one hand, I think it's hilarious that immediately he pairs the young Okada is paired with the Young Bucks, because it's a two-edged sword. Because I'm like, all right, they got it out of the way now. If they ever wanted to do it, they got it out of the way now. However, I could not imagine a scenario less enticing for me to go, hey, maybe I should check out what Okada's up to over at Dynamite. Then by pairing him with the Young Bucks, maybe it'll be some sort of hilarity. But
feels like a two steps forward, two steps back from Tony Khan type of thing.
Yeah, two steps. We'll say two steps forward, one and a half back. Because again, you are pairing him with ostensibly two of the top names on the show, and yeah, you do count on your hardcore audience, but you want to grow the audience. So
Rob has pulled the data from the ratings. The Young Bucks chase off the hoes.
Well, I agree, of course, okay. And we know that. But I also understand the value of long-term attaching them to, you know, one of your bigger names, if that makes sense. Even though they're, I don't know, it's very odd. But it's odd. Yeah, it's just odd.
Rob, what about you? You think AEW can turn the corner in 2024? Do you see that that's a possibility, I said, with the big signings that they've got and some of the moves that they're making?
I think so. I think, well, for one, back at the end of last year, he did the common sense thing when he had, you know, some old Joe winning the championship, and I just, you know, because MJF was, of course, he had a bunch of injuries and all that stuff, and it was time to, you know, it was necessary to basically take the belt off of him at that time. And I think there was a time, I do think there was a time where Tony would have just had MJF beat him again and then, you know, have him vacate the title and have yet another tournament. But he went through with the thing. And also, you know, the way that they had kind of booked themselves into that corner with that whole devil thing. And, you know, they got out of the corner about as well as you could expect anybody to do it. Yeah. And so those two things last year were, you know, me two examples of him making a right decision when previously he may not have. And just personally, I'm enjoying this from Samoa Joe. So I'm happy to see that. And now, you know, they pretty much set the table for Swerve to win the AEW World Championship. And that would be somebody who, you know, he's set things up nicely to do that and for it to be well received when it happens. And look, and this is somebody who, if they pull the trigger and they do it, this is absolutely somebody where you can look and say, look, the guys on the other side of the street, look what they didn't use him. They released him. They didn't do shit with him. And look what I did with him over here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a perfect opportunity to do that and to be right. Okay. You know, and so they've at least set things up to do that. Now they gotta pull the trigger, they gotta actually do it. But they've set things up well to do that, and all they need to do is just finish it. And now they hired away one of the senior writers from WWE. And her name escapes me right now, but they brought her in to basically be a high level creative person and whatnot. That has the potential just for them to do better television. Because some of those things, like this stuff with this Don Callis stuff, can be really bad. Some of the Jericho stuff can be really bad. Some of the Young Bucks stuff can be really just bad TV. And so if this hire from this from WWE, if she eventually, if it leads to better television, which it has the potential to do, we absolutely. There's definitely, look, there are opportunities to turn things around, to kind of reset things and redirect. And so he's put them in position to make some improvement this year. Yeah. And it's just a matter, but now, you know, of course, you got to do it. But everything is there to everything is there to make it happen. And look, they're never going to beat WWE. That should never be a goal. But I mean, they should make the best television they possibly can, and they have things in place now where they can do that.
Right, I agree. I think 2023 was a very sobering and humiliating, a bit of humility to Tony Khan. I like to think that maybe he's been humbled a bit. Obviously, we're not beating WWE. Like you said, that shouldn't even be the goal. It should never have been the goal from day one. What I want to see is less of that. I want to see less of, hey, we're going to get them, and you don't like WWE. Remember, come love us. I don't want that. I want you to give me a reason to watch your show. And you're never going to get me to watch your show if you keep reminding me that I'm not supposed to like WWE, and I'm supposed to love you because you're not WWE. He's got the talent over there. I've been saying this for over a year now. He is doing his talent a disservice by continuing that business model. You've got some great people there. You've got some great minds in the back. I mean, you've got fucking Jerry Lynn and Arn Anderson and Dean Malenko. You've got Edge back there now. You've got Chris Jericho, which you can say whatever you want about Chris Jericho. The guy knows the business. The guy knows live TV. And, you know, if you're not listening to these guys because you're too busy playing with your eFed on live TV, you're not putting out compelling television. And you have the potential to do that. I, as much shit as I talk about Tony Khan and AEW, I want them to get better. I want them to succeed. I want them to thrive. You know, but I also am not going to sit here with some bullshit, you know, delusions of grandeur about how they're, one, better than WWE, and two, that they're going to overtake WWE someday. It's just not going to happen. WWE, the machine is too large. The whole thing is too big, but you don't have to. We shouldn't use WWE as the measuring stick for AEW. AEW as an island has the potential to be very successful on its own. And it can exist as its own thing while still taking a little bit of the pie from WWE. And that's perfectly fine. We don't have to beat WWE to be a successful wrestling company. And that's the part about their hardcore people that drive me nuts. It's like all or nothing. It's like, we have to beat WWE. Why? Why? The guy's got an endless supply of money. Obviously, he can pay some of this talent more than he's ever going to see on return of investment. Like, we can briefly talk about the Okada thing. The word going out is that he's paying him $4 million a year. He's never going to see $4 million a year plus profit on Okada. Not right now, you know, but still, he has talent in that roster to put on compelling wrestling program, to put on a show that will appeal to not only the work rate nerds and the people who like that stuff. He's got characters on that show who will appeal to the people who want to watch a good character with good motivations or in compelling motivations, if nothing else. So I'm hopeful that he's been humbled enough to say, hey, look, I need to make some changes. I lost Cody Rhodes, which was a guy I founded this company with. And then a year later, I've had CM Punk in my grasp. And I shit the bed on that twice and finally lost him. What am I doing? Like, at some point, you got to look in the mirror and say, what am I doing wrong? How did I lose Cody Rhodes? How did I lose CM Punk? You know, how did this happen? And at some point, you've got to reflect. Look in the mirror and say, okay, maybe I am part of the problem. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. Maybe it's time to switch it up a little bit. And hopefully he does that. And hopefully we can bring this company to a level of success that is good for the business and good for them.
Yeah. And so this is the time to do it. There's a real opportunity to do it here. Everything is set. Look, he's got all the pieces on the board right now that he needs to make everything better this year. And so now you just got to do it. Period. Yeah.
All right. Jason, you got any parting thoughts on this? You're muted if you're trying to talk.
I'm muted. Okay. Well, I mean, we've pretty much said it all, dude. You got all the pieces on the board. They're all in a pretty darn good position. Maybe a shift here, a shift there, but like, let talented be people be talented. That's the best advice I can give you. And that goes across, you know, not only the people in front of the camera, but the people behind it. And, you know, if the people in front of the camera have some suggestions, again, let talented people be talented.
All right. Well, guys, I think we can call it a go home. We had a fun little show here tonight. Not a long one, but, you know, we weren't here for a long time, but we were here for a good time. And I had a good time tonight.
Plus, if you always want more of us, you can go check us out on DWI episode number 420.
That's right. We had a lot of fun over there, too. So we're going to wrap back around the room here. I'm going to thank my co-hosts again. Jason, sir, fun night tonight.
You know what? It is just a wonderful day. And this was wonderful that we could do this on this, the 1,285th day of the reign of our tribal chief. God bless everyone.
Yes, and then go smoke some more crack.
Yeah, go smoke some more crack, you hillbillies.
Hopefully we're going to have some discussion about all that next week here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. But from the Rob the Genius Podcast, Mr. Rob, sir, had a good night tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Always a pleasure.
And again, I'm the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. You've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We once again thank you. Please go over to thechairshot.com. Like, subscribe, follow, share it with your friends, share it with your enemies. We're doing this for you. We're doing this for us. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here until next week.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.